ran it from Bennett.
With the largest coverage of any sports talk station in the upstate, nobody does it better than us. We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Yes, I understand that every life must end. As we sit alone, I know someday we must go. Oh, I'm a lucky man to count on both hands the ones I love.
I would say that's pretty lucky. Lucky that Pearl Jam came in to be a part of the show today. Appreciate the guys coming in the studio. Really cool stuff there. Welcome back. Hour number three. Our friends at Canty do a tremendous job. C-A-N-T-E-Y. CantyCanFixIt.com. And that's permanently fix it. I think the reason they put permanently fix it in there is because it'd be too long for a web address. But really, not only can Canty fix it, but Canty can permanently fix it. What we're talking about is cracks in driveways and walkways and steps and stoops and brick and mortar and any foundation issues you might have. Concrete leveling, pool decks, they do a great job of that. It could be a major issue in the grand scheme of things in your home or your business. Don't let it get out of hand. Jammed doors or windows might be signs that something is not going very well. So think about our friends at Canty, C-A-N-T-E-Y, CantyCanFixIt.com. Batting fourth in the lineup today, batting cleanup in the lineup today is Paul Strelo of TigerIllustrated.com. You know, Paul, the cleanup spot is a valuable spot in the guest lineup today. How you doing?
I'm a father of five. Cleanup is my job.
I love it, man. I love it. The Strelo family, everybody well? Everybody happy, healthy? Everybody doing well?
Everybody's good. Thank you very much.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. We have commitment news since we last visited. The Tigers had three official visits, and two of the three have committed. Let's review the weekend. I'll begin with the most recent wide receiver, Cole Turner, coming in, a guy that the staff was familiar with through family ties. Tell us about the most recent wide receiver commitment.
Yeah, certainly Clemson, very familiar with Cole Turner, brother of Nolan Turner, someone who Clemson was obviously aware of, but had not offered and really had not recruited a whole lot. He really just started back playing football his junior year. His high school experienced a coaching change the previous year and brought in a guy with a big passing system background who's since been hired elsewhere because of it. But so Cole Turner goes on, has a prolific season as a receiver. You know, I think his senior film much different than his junior film, and I think that he had some preferred walk-on offers at Ole Miss and Alabama. Iowa had kind of wanted to see him during January, but once Dabo Swinney came to the table, went for naught for others who were kind of interested, and so someone who had some pretty decent senior film, made strides in his time in returning to football. And, I think that based on Nolan and his career trajectory, I think that probably, gave Dabo Swinney more comfort in going ahead and extending, as opposed to a preferred walk-on spot, a scholarship offer to him.
Clemson gets a second commitment over the weekend. Miles Oliver, Douglasville, Georgia, Douglas County, the cornerback, a guy that seemingly has some versatility. What is Clemson getting with Oliver?
I don't know that it's necessarily like a Kayvon Wallace type by any stretch, but I think you look at his film, and that is one guy you don't want to make your living on under the radar types. You don't want 15 to 20 kind of, late bloomers, so to speak. But that someone in December that Clemson, when they evaluated the film, was very pleasantly surprised. You can find defensive backs late. There are many more people who can be that at a college level, just on a supply standpoint. And Oliver's someone who, grew a little bit his senior year, got a little bigger, a little faster, his play was much better. A drastic difference between his senior film to junior film. So I think, you know, we will see what he is over the course of his career. I mean, he's definitely a corner for Clemson. There's some who think he could be a nickel type safety. But, you know, I think if you look back at Ryan Carter's kind of career, and Oliver's bigger than Ryan Carter, and Clemson was more familiar with Ryan Carter, but someone who could, you know, can play different spots in your secondary, just kind of has a toughness to him. Someone who I think can be a career contributor, despite the fact that, you know, his offer list going, you know, really up until late December, didn't even really profile him as a prospect.
And then a third visitor, this time locally, Jaheim Lawson, another legacy and another local kid. Tell us about how that visit went and how things stand right now as an uncommitted defensive end.
You know, I think like any brother of someone who's starred, you kind of want to create your own identity, carve your own niche. And I believe that's certainly, part of Jaheim's thinking. But I think that the relationships Clemson has with his mother, you know, with what Clemson has done with defensive ends and what they can do for him from a nurturing standpoint and just a maturation standpoint, you know, I think that, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer that he's going to end up at Clemson. Georgia Tech, just as, you know, the same, it's kind of same instance with Miles Oliver. Georgia Tech had offered Jaheim much earlier than they did Miles Oliver, but interested in him as a potential late addition. But I don't think that the Clemson really is going to have competition in kind of finishing things off. Lawson has no further visits planned, and I think we're probably in a matter of days, if not hours, before Lawson joins the commitment list.
Now, you see, Paul, I speak Streloese, and I've also been in the business. I know you've got the commitment story up, ready to press send on, and so I'll be tuning in to TigerIllustrated.com. You don't have to worry about me and hitting refresh on Tiger Illustrated all day with that one. Paul Strelos, our guest, TigerIllustrated.com, the best place to find Clemson information, Clemson recruiting information. Tomorrow, Larry Williams joins us. So not only in the four hole today, but you're in the leadoff spot for Tiger Illustrated this week. But leading into this weekend, the news is official visitors, official visitors this weekend?
Mm-hmm. Four official visitors this weekend. The fifth was going to be Montgomery Catholic four-star linebacker TJ Dudley. We reported yesterday at Dudley's request. He has moved that official visit back to January 28th to 30th. I don't believe there's any reason for concern necessarily there for Clemson. And I think that, you know, the worst case scenario is you get the last visit right there before the February 2 signing day. So four visits this weekend, you know, one coming from Kylan Griffin, TJ Dudley's teammate at Montgomery Catholic. Clemson, you know, when they lost Keon Saab, went looking for a safety. Griffin is that guy. You know, I think if we're talking guys who profile, you know, who are going to be sold like a Kayvon Wallace, I think Griffin is a guy who is going to be a safety, but will give you some versatility and being able to play a little more man coverage. You could use him in nickel situations, you know, and emergencies. You could work him at corner. So I think that is more. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Kayvon Wallace, but I think he's that. You know, that's where he profiles usage within Clemson's defense. Andrew Paul is a popular one for us, a high three-star running back out of Dallas, Texas, who's got really good film against lower-level competition in Texas. But, I mean, he's 5'10", 5'11", 230, 220 to 230, well-built, put together, and obviously kind of the January season changes the market for folks. And so he went from a Colorado, Baylor, SMU type, to now he went to Michigan last weekend, Clemson this weekend, and Notre Dame's pushing for an official visit the following weekend. So some work to do there. There are ties to Notre Dame that with his high school coach that are pretty strong that I don't think can be dismissed. But I do think that C.J. Spiller has done a good job on the front end of he's got better relationships than really Michigan has. And Michigan stability, you know, could be a question here with Harbaugh possibly leaving to the NFL. So I think Clemson's in as good a shape, if not better shape, than anybody right now going into the weekend. And I think Clemson is the one that Notre Dame fears he could well commit to. And then the other one is four-star defensive tackle Caden Story out of Lynette, Alabama, someone who had been committed to Auburn for a number of months. Nick Eason leaves. Story had already kind of been on the fence a little bit, did not sign in December, had an official visit scheduled, has one scheduled still for Florida for the final weekend. But when Eason left, Clemson and Clemson came into the picture strong. Clemson is one where that really already resonated with the family. I think Nick Eason had a very good visit with the family on Monday. And I think that really the arrow is pointing to Clemson as the team to beat here going into the final 2 weeks.
Paul, if the Tigers can close with the two last week with Lawson, Paul, Dudley, Griffin, McLeod, and Story, that's a lot coming in. But if they can close with those guys, what would you say about the finish, the January finish?
I would say it's about as good as Clemson could have hoped. Particularly, you know, the one that really resonates with me, or stick out for me. You know, to have a defensive tackle of Story's caliber kind of, you know, fall into the lap, so to speak. You know, I think that given kind of the way defensive tackle recruiting went this past cycle, I don't know that there could be a better case scenario here that you could have crafted. And I don't think Caden Story is an immediate contributor type, but to get someone in the 6'2", 6'3", 300, you know, 280 to 3, and will be 300-pound range, who can move as well as Story does, a guy who's kind of just outgrown defensive end, I think that's better clay than Clemson could have, you know, realistically hoped for. Andrew Paul, for me, you know, there are going to be a lot of comparisons to when Clemson came in and got Travis Etienne late. I mean, I think that's while that's an unrealistic expectation for Paul, he's a different kind of running back, and ETN so explosive. But I do think Andrew Paul is great value here late, as someone who does have high upside, can be a really good college player, a little something different for Clemson stable, and I think someone who really could, you know, is kind of a fit for Clemson and could thrive in what they do.
Not bad for business. Normally, Januarys are fairly boring around here, but now competing against Notre Dame and Michigan and Auburn and Florida and a former Oregon commitment, former maybe Mississippi State commitment, probably pretty good for business there. January the 29th, you have an elite junior day planned. I know some additions and some subtractions. What are the newsmakers so far? I know it's a long way off, and we always talk about fluidity of these situations, but what's the news here lately about the 29th junior day?
Oh, as you said, there are going to be names that come and go even over the next 2 weeks. But for me, the big storyline remains defensive line, and especially defensive tackle. With Peyton Page, the only one signed last class, right now they don't have one for this class, and Caden Story could fill you know that void. But still, two over 2 years, when you're about to lose Brian Brzee, Tyler Davis, you know, potentially even, you know, Rook. So if you lose some of your top end guys, you're going to need high end talent to fill in there. And so I think they've got five or six guys that they have offered coming in that, you know, all 4-star caliber, who, you know, Clemson is going to take volume at defensive tackle this next class. I think it's a foundational position for the class, as well as looking at Clemson's trajectory over the future. And so when you've got Peter Woods coming in right off an Alabama visit, Kelby Collins coming in right after an Alabama visit, you know, Derek LeBlanc, who's got to gain a little more familiarity with Nick Eason, but someone that Clemson has been in really good shape with, just a number of those type guys, Vic Burley, out of Georgia, a 4-star that it's a Clemson Georgia battle, who it really kind of profiles as a Clemson fit. I think it's a big weekend for, you know, I don't know if they necessarily come out with commitments, but I think it's a huge weekend for advancing the cause and really trying to restock the defensive line, defensive tackle stable in particular.
Offensive line looks pretty good, not only there, but later in the spring as well. Some commitments, big bodies, obviously a priority. Hey, a couple of text message questions. First from 3873, who asked, do you see any possibility of a Nathaniel Ray Joseph, a decommitment because of the new staff and Mario Cristobal down in his hometown down in Miami?
I don't think anything immediately, but I think a year away from signing day, I don't think you can write it off or dismiss it. And I think if you're Clemson, you recognize, and have long recognized, you're going to have to stay on top of that one, continue recruiting for the duration. Mario Cristobal is very good at what he does in recruiting, and Miami's, you know, got a little hotter brand right now, so that is one that we will just kind of have to keep an eye on and track. And so within that context, yes, I would say it's a possibility. But is it a probability? No, not at this point. And I still think that, you know, Joseph's saying all the right things, and he hasn't taken a visit to Miami. So there, you know, while we know Miami continues to work Ray Ray Joseph, I mean, that's just kind of par for the course and big boy recruiting. It's just a little more public because he's admitted that Miami's coming after him. So, yes, watching it, but I don't think there is necessarily cause for concern at this point.
A text reminds me that I forgot to ask about McLeod coming in this weekend.
Yes, Kobe McLeod from Tampa Gaither, who was a Florida international recruit, a commitment until Butch Davis left. And he's never actually announced his decommitment publicly, but, you know, Clemson doesn't bring him in if they consider him committed. You know, McLeod comes in. He went to UMass last weekend. Arizona had talked about him as a gray shirt to join his brother Jordan there. But, you know, this isn't a recruitment that Clemson loses, much less when they've already have established relationships with the McLeod family. And there are many pictures of Kobe McLeod going back when he was well in elementary school and being up here for Ray Ray's recruitment. You know, there's a familiarity there that Clemson's not going to lose on.
Final one. Here's a text message wanting to know about Jalen Rambert from Powdersville, class 2023. Keith and Greenville asking about another Clemson legacy and maybe your thoughts on what kind of prospect that Jalen Rambert might be.
Sure. Rambert is a 5'10", kind of a stocky, thickly built inside linebacker type who's taken a lot of visits, just to Clemson, but other schools. And I think it still remains to be seen what the market will be for him. You know, I think that numbers have to sort out for Clemson. They've got to, you know, Wes Goodwin has to see more guys this spring. But, you know, certainly he's on the table for Clemson. But there are schools, you know, Vanderbilt type schools that, I think Arkansas has shown interest, I think that let's kind of see what the market looks like for Jalen Rambert and go from there.
Finally, tell us about TigerIllustrated.com. Boy, with official visits and commitments, and I'm going to hit refresh an awful lot, as I told you. A great place to sign up, a great time to sign up is at Tiger Illustrated.
Yes, a lot of wheels in motion here, plane wheels included, with Dabo Swinney being on the road this week. Seeing a number of particularly juniors that Clemson's prioritizing. So a lot of returns daily on where Clemson coaches have been, where they're going. Next week is another big week for that as well. And we'll continue to have coverage from coming out of the official visits this weekend and really with Clemson putting the finishing touches on this class with, you know, almost really six spots left to go.
Place to find it, TigerIllustrated.com. If we can't, let's review the official visits from this past weekend and preview as we find out more about the fluid junior day coming up when we visit next week, Paul.
Sounds good, Mickey. Appreciate it, sir.
Can't thank you enough. Good luck to Everton this weekend. That's a great friend, Paul Strelo, TigerIllustrated.com. We'll take a short break. We'll come back. Mike Noonan is going to join us, the head coach of the men's soccer program, coming off of a national championship. We'll talk about that and the future of Clemson soccer right after a very short break.
Emanating from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing high-speed fiber to homes and businesses, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
As an independent business owner, you are the expert on your products, services, and customers. But you may not have the time or expertise to handle other duties, such as ensuring tax forms and payments are made. Let David Green help you get back on track. He can implement the best IRS programs to resolve all of your IRS and South Carolina tax issues. Call us at 271-7940 or visit our website, davidgreenattorney.com, for a free appointment to discuss your situation.
Are you ready for a new car? State Credit Union now has new car loan rates as low as 1.99% APR. And you'll enjoy having no car payments for up to 90 days. Not a member of State Credit Union yet? Joining is fast and easy. Visit their website for details. SCSCU.com. That's SCSCU.com. In the market for an electric vehicle? Ask about additional funds for the purchase and installation of a charging station. Terms and conditions apply. Rates, conditions, and programs subject to change without notice. Equal housing lender. State Credit Union is federally insured by the NCUA.
This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Sitting here again today with Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener remarks that he hopes he had a great annual enrollment period and asks if there are special election periods available for people who did not make a change and are regretting it.
Thanks, listener, for the good wishes. Thanks to Walt and WCCP's listeners, we had a fantastic AEP. Now as to the question on special election periods. Medicare has over 150 different special election periods that a person may qualify for. I have to be on top of each of these and recommend that you call and we will discern if any of them apply to you and you can still make a change. Please call 864-307-8484 today.
Let me add my thanks to Gary and all you listeners for supporting Gary and all of our sponsors. Call Gary and see if you qualify for a Medicare special election period at 864-307-8484. You'll thank me later.
Feel the wind with a Tohatsu portable outboard motor from McCurry's Outboard Repairs. Reliability, dependability, and simplicity is what you get in a Tohatsu portable outboard motor. Available from 2.5 horsepower to 20 horsepower. Tohatsu, the oldest commercial outboard motor builder in the world since 1956, with a 5-year factory warranty. See your local Tohatsu dealer. McCurry's Outboard Repairs at the Greenville Boat Show, January 27th through the 30th. Call 225-8704.
This Saturday, the Clemson Tigers return home to the friendly confines of Little John Coliseum as they play host to the Pitt Panthers. As we enter the midpoint of ACC play, the Tigers look to create some momentum into the next stretch of play with a win. Broadcast begins 30 minutes prior to tip. Catch it all right here on the Clemson Athletic Network.
Right here on The Roar, 105.5 and 97.5, where every day is game day. Your Clemson football destination. We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
She had to heave me right across her shoulder. Cause I just can't seem to.
Glad to have you with us. I'll tell you about my friends at Patterson Tax Service, PATTX.com, PATTX.com, 859-8289. Again, 859-8289. It is the Patterson Tax Service. They'd love to help you out. Next week, you can begin filing taxes, getting your refunds back faster. The child tax credit. I told you yesterday I had two child tax credit notices from the IRS, and you'll be getting those in the mail now. And anybody has any kind of dependents, you'll get those. And then on the other side of it, you're going to get a bunch of help from them, like on the earned income tax credit. There's so many possibilities for you and so many different ways to think about your taxes for 2022, filing for 21. let the Patterson Tax Service do that. I don't sweat it. I just take care of it. It's the Patterson Tax Service, PATTAX.com. For the final guest of the day, we saved the best for last. We saved national championship winning coach Mike Noonan, the Clemson soccer program. Good morning, Coach Noonan. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Mickey. How are you?
Fantastic. I've told you in text. I want to officially do it on the air now. Congratulations, national champion. That's got to feel good. Are you still on cloud nine? There's a lot of work to be done. I know you guys are always hitting the reset button, but got a little pep in your step, little different letterhead on sending those recruiting letters out right now.
Well, yeah, a lot has changed, Mickey, and it's all changed for the good. And the recruiting is bountiful right now. Obviously, we're on the road today, so it's definitely a different light on what we're doing on a daily basis coming off the national championship.
Coach, it's you've knocked on the door. You've been on the doorstep. You've been at cul-de-sac, all those cliches, but to finally kick it in. We'll go back, but to kick that door in, to have that on that letterhead, to have that logo, to have that extra star on the logo, what long-term, big picture, what does that mean for the future of the program?
Well, I think, like any national championship that Clemson's had, whether it's football, golf, or the two previous one we had in soccer, it represents excellence, and that's what our athletic program's about. And our soccer program's about. And, I think people see that in the way that we go about what we do every day, our staff, our players, they succeed on and off the field. They had a national championship year in the classroom as well. So, I think it just is that, we're ready to win again. We're ready to win better, and we're ready to win and continue to win with class.
Every championship, I know you've won ACC championships, and I mean, every ladder and every ring on that ladder is great. I get that. But does it mean more because there was a lot of thought among maybe your staff, I never asked you this, but a lot of thought in the soccer world that maybe last year, the previous year, the COVID thing wrecked the season, wrecked the plans of postseason. A lot of people thought you had the best team in the country the year before. Is it more validating? Was there anything to say about that and coming back maybe after your best team ever and winning it the next year?
Well, everybody tries to compare teams, and what they're really comparing is trying to compare talent, which really takes away from what this year's team accomplished. And I think what people don't focus on is what this year's team was, and what they were was a team in every essence of the word. We're really proud and happy that we had three first-round draft picks in the MLS draft. No program in the country could say that. We had, homegrown players who left, and a lot of our attacking talent left. But we knew going into this year that we had George Marks in goal, Oscar Ugger in the back, three of our Charlie Asensio, Hamidi Diop. We had our starting backfield in place. So we knew we were going to be strong, but it's the character that wins championships, not talent.
What did you I asked Dabo this before. Handling success, it's not new to you, not new to this program, but are there concerns? I mean, it's not everything should be rosy, but it doesn't always work out that way. We've seen some, I don't say one hit wonders, but you're a long term, you're in for the long play. Do you have any concerns about that character moving forward, about just about talent? I mean, I see this at certain levels in certain places that you're a marked program now. You already have been, but is it because you've been maybe so used to that maybe that's not as concerned? Or are you concerned about handling success at the highest level, which you just had?
No, I'm always concerned, Mickey. I think that, if you're not, it's time to stop doing what you're doing. Right. And you're always trying more than concern. You're always trying to get better at the process of what you do every day. Our core values within the program aren't going to change. So if we recruit to those core values, we expect that the character will stay the same. But, again, I don't want to diminish talent. Talent's really, really important. We've been able to get some great talent in here, and we have great talent remaining in our program. So sustained excellence is what we're looking for. And I think we've had that through the course of the last 5, 6, 7 years. We poked our head through this year and got, maybe the rub of the green or the bounce of the ball that went the right way at the right time and got us through to the ultimate.
the ultimate with the 2-0 win, and what a start in a national championship game. I'll ask you about that in a second. But I want to go back to the challenges of the season. This was not a cakewalk. The schedule you play is amazing every single year. Through COVID, through injuries, through replacing the drafted guys. What was the challenge like all year long for you? And when did you realize maybe, you know, I guess maybe this might be a question every year, that you're a national championship caliber team, but what was it like throughout the season before you got to the championship game?
Yeah, I think that, again, that's what we try to do with our schedules. We do try to challenge the team so that when we get into, you know, the knife's edge of the season in the playoffs, they're accustomed to playing those types of games. So that's the point of the schedule. I think our staff, you know, associate head coach Phil Jones, assistant Camilo Rodriguez, and Rob Thompson, our director of operations, does a phenomenal job keeping the players grounded over wins and losses and the ups and downs. And I think that we dealt with adversity in our team this year. Probably the key to winning the championship was how the players and the staff dealt with adversity. I mean, we lost our two starting center forwards, you know, James Brighton after the South Carolina game, Mohase in the Duke ACC semifinal, and adjusted, pivoted, did what we needed to do. But again, I say this all the time, Mickey, coaches get too much credit. Our game is a player's game. And once the game starts, the players make the decisions. Our job is to create an environment in training where they can make those decisions. And I've got to give all the credit to the leadership of our team, the captains, George Mark, James Wrighton, Oscar Ogren. I mean, just a fantastic group of young men who, you know, you lose to Notre Dame at home and you lose to Pitt at home after you haven't lost at Riggs for 33 games, and you do that back-to-back. A lot of teams begin to doubt themselves at that point. This team never had a doubt.
And leadership and the coaching staff, let's be humble, but let's also give you guys credit for that. All right, I want to go back to the win at Oregon State, the number one team in the country on the road in the quarterfinals and penalty kicks. The atmosphere there, the tremendous challenge you had of the travel and then going out and facing this caliber of team. Let me know about that win. And then the second part of the question here is, it's penalty kicks against the number one team in the country, but you've got George on your side. And I know penalty kicks are nerve-wracking, but how do you feel going into it? Tell me about the win out in Corvallis.
Yeah, that was it's funny. We were at Clemson Downs yesterday with a bunch of the team and the staff, and the first question to the players was, what was the hardest team you played all year? And all seven guys said Oregon State.
Yeah.
And the staff is nodding their heads because they were – really, really, really good. And then the challenge, I told the boys earlier in the week, I said, you're about to do one of the hardest things there is to do in sport. And I don't care what sport it is or at what level, but you've got to fly across country and play a first place top seeded team, win the game, and then fly back and prepare yourself for the semifinals and the final. And our guys were just locked in focus. And I think as we got to, you know, again, adversity. We went down a goal, came back 8 minutes left in the game, tied the game. But as locked in as we were through that entire trip in that process, George Marks was locked in and ready when it came to the penalty kicks. But we knew that because we had, again, trained it over and over again and gone through. And you can never replicate a penalty kick shootout because of the pressure in practice. But if your routine's right, if you are prepared, then you just play. And that's what George did. And I was so happy for him and for our team. And I got to give a lot of credit again, too, Mickey, to our administration, because they did, they came up big on that trip, and they get a big assist because we were able to charter out there, and charter back. Chartering out was important, and it's expensive, for an Olympic sport program. But it wasn't going out. It was being able to come back and get the recovery and the preparation to be able to play in the semifinal up in Cary 3 days later.
Yeah, and on top of that, against Notre Dame, and on top of that, another penalty kick situation. I mean, it's like you just climbed Everest, and oh, yeah, by the way, let's try to climb it again. Your thoughts on the great penalty kick win against Notre Dame?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we played exceptionally well in the first half of that game. Tailed off a bit. I think our legs were tired late in the game. George made some sensational saves to keep the game tied in overtime. And then, you know, John Martin hadn't played in the match, and he steps up with the first penalty kick. I tell him he's taking the first penalty kick because, you know, everybody scouts penalties. So you had this, and John was taking the sixth kick out in Oregon, so they never saw him. And he walks in as stone cold ice as you can be and nails the first one to get us the advantage. And then Justin Malou, you know, an MLS draft pick from the year before, comes back for his fifth year. And he's one who, he's a pleaser, and he never wants to disappoint anybody. And sometimes he overthinks things, but he was the fifth kicker, and same thing, ice as can be, and seal the victory. And we went to Washington.
All right, I got to ask about that in a second, but I need a personal thing for you. To me, it's always harder watching than playing. In your playing days as in penalty kicks compared to your coaching days as penalty kicks, what's going on inside of Mike Noonan?
Yeah, it's a coin toss when you get to penalty kicks. You know, I've got confidence in the team. You wait and watch, and it unfolds, and you're right. I'd much rather be out on the field taking a penalty than standing on the sideline watching it, because it can be nerve-wracking. But you know that, you know, our guys gave everything they had in the game and had throughout the tournament, and you live with the result. And we were fortunate enough to win another penalty, but we were prepared. It was our time. This team had lost. You know, these seniors had lost and penalty kicks to Stanford in order to advance to the College Cup 2 years beforehand. They had lost in penalties the year before to the eventual champion Marshall in the quarterfinals or the round of 16. And it was our turn, and they were not going to be denied.
Not denied. It was not over for you, not over for the team early against Washington, but could you have drawn up a better start than what you saw there very early up in the championship game?
No, but in our game, as you know, Mickey, you know, yeah, sometimes you can score too early, right?
Right.
You score too early and you've got a game plan, and then the team relaxes because they think, oh, well, this is going to be easy. So I'm sitting on the bench and Isaiah scores, and I'm like, oh my God. I turned to Phil and I said, we just scored too early. And he looked at me and he goes, not in the national championship game, it's not. So, and he was right, because the focus and the concentration was, you know, heightened at that point because it was the national championship and the adrenaline. And even though you're playing the most important game of your season 36 hours after your semifinal, our guys were terrific. And, I mean, what pleased me the most about the national championship game, okay, we won. But the performance, yeah, in the game,
yeah,
and the crowd that came to watch Clemson win it, the performance in the crowd, just like, I mean, never forget it. None of our players will ever forget it. It's a lifetime memory.
I have seen pictures of you post-game. I've seen pictures of you, some personal things, you with your families and memories. I've seen things of you from this past weekend with the parade. Give me a little look behind the scenes, locker room afterwards, bus ride afterwards, something that we might not have seen. What's the one moment you look back right now and go, man, that's it. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah. Well, what doesn't get any better is that, my three girls, my wife and my two daughters, I've never seen them happier, in their life. And what they give up of their dad in order for him to give to, you know, all the guys on the team and to Clemson, for them to live that. My daughter's up at doing a PG year up at a prep school in Connecticut. We flew her in for the game, and just to have them as happy as I've ever seen them was really special. And I think that's the feeling that all of us had for our families, right?
Well,
you talk about the bus ride.
Yeah,
you talk about the bus ride home, and again, it was the fastest 4.5 hours from Raleigh-Durham area I have ever, and you just wanted it to go on forever, right? The singing, the joking, the practical jokes that the coaches were playing on the players were playing on the coaches, you know, our training staff, our support staff, the bus driver. I mean, everybody was into it. And then we got home and, you know, the crowd was here, the band was here, you know, the administration was here, had a celebration, and, you know, and then our volunteer assistant coach, Pierce Tormey, who Hall of Famer and won the national championship in 87, he had called a friend of his who happens to own the Esso Club. And, you know, everybody went to the Esso Club from the team afterwards and just, you know, had some a bite to eat and just it was, you know, there some of the more immediate friends from in the Orange Wall, the fans who had supported us throughout the year at Riggs, you know, were able to take part in that for a couple hours. And then I got home and it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm flying to the West Coast the next day at 9. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and my girls are still up, right? And they're watching the game, a rerun of the game. Can't wait for dad to get home. And we're up till 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. I got 2 hours of sleep and flew. It was great. It was awesome.
On cloud nine, flew out to the West Coast. I think it says a lot about you that when we talk about this, you know, some of the personal things that happened to you, it's still about your players, your coaches, the administration, the family. You talked about the Clemson family. I've talked to Milt Lauder about you and the things that inside that athletic department. We talk about things you learned from, you've talked about things you learned from Dabo and he learns from you and seeing him there with you and all that kind of stuff. It's really cool. But I think it says a lot about who you are as a Clemson man as well. And I can't thank you enough for everything you do for Clemson soccer. And coach, let's get this thing back up again. You got some spring stuff coming up. Fans going to get back out and see you pretty soon here, right? I know you got recruiting on the road. Never stops for you guys, huh?
Right. Look, we were supposed to start on Tuesday, but there was a little thing called snow that got in the way. they're starting up today with the two of the assistants who are then going to go on the road this afternoon recruiting. But the last weekend in February is our first spring match, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be at Riggs. We're going to play the Greenville Triumph, so it's going to be a local derby. And then we have two other home games. The first weekend in March, we are playing the University of North Carolina here. And then the next weekend we play the University of Maryland and what has now been, christened the Spring Cup Challenge. It's 10 of the best teams in the East Coast split into two divisions. And we're playing for the Spring Cup, and the finals will be the first week in April up at Wake Forest.
Coach, good luck with that. Good luck with the spring. And once again, congratulations from here at the station. And can't wait to visit with you soon, my friend. And from all of us, again, congratulations.
All right, Mickey, I'll look for you on the golf course.
Sounds great, my friend. Let's do that soon for sure. That's Mike Noonan, national championship winning soccer coach at Clemson. Have a great day, Coach. Be careful on the road.
All right. Go Tigers.
That is Mike Noonan. What a guy, man. What a story. Hey, we're way past one. Short break, much more on the other side right after this.
Since 1917, Harbin Lumber Company has been a top lumber and building supplier in the industry. Their number one asset is their employees, people who are dedicated to providing quality building products and contractor services. People just like you, working to grow and be a part of the community. From construction projects to large remodeling jobs, see the hardworking folks people have entrusted for nearly 100 years. Harbin Lumber Company, serving South Carolina, Georgia, and North Carolina, and online at harbinlumber.com. An ordinary HVAC unit might last 15 years. With a water furnace geothermal unit, you can expect a 25-year lifespan, maybe more. That makes water furnace the better choice. Federal tax credits are 26%, and South Carolina adds an extra 25%. Blue Ridge Electric Co-op members could get $1,600 per ton rebate as well. Invest in comfort and savings now. Visit waterfurnace.com/SC or call Brian Harden at 735-8081. Water Furnace, your reliable renewable.
The average inch loss at the Health Fair is 17 inches in 30 days. That's straight off the belly. Our secret is we only target belly fat that causes stroke, heart attack, high blood pressure, diabetes, sleep apnea, even cancer. The Health Fair is so easy, you can still have your ribeye, baked potato, and your favorite drink. Sounds too good to be true, but we guarantee your waistline will shrink or your money back. This month, join the Health Fair and get a week's worth of groceries for free. Buy one program, get one free. Go to iDareMe.com or call 1-877-IDAREME.
I'm Eddie Bennett. A new year is upon us, and Bennett has Takeuchi track loaders, excavators, and wheel loaders available for sale or rent at our locations. Bennett and Takeuchi now offer attachments for track loaders and excavators with the Takeuchi quality and dependability you've come to trust. Call or visit any of our upstate locations or online at BennettEquipment.net. Bennett Equipment and Takeuchi, two names you can trust. And as always, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
This Saturday, the Clemson Tigers return home to the friendly confines of Little John Coliseum as they play host to the Pitt Panthers. As we enter the midpoint of ACC play, the Tigers look to create some momentum into the next stretch of play with a win. Broadcast begins 30 minutes prior to tip. Catch it all right here on the Clemson Athletic Network.
Right here on The Roar, 105.5 and 97.5, where every day is game day.
If you're looking for designer home furnishings or custom outdoor furniture, your next day trip itinerary should start in Clayton, Georgia at Reeves Home Furnishings. Next, visit the Summer House by Reeves in Highlands, North Carolina for unique art and home decor finds sure to make your neighbors and friends jealous. Come for the day or stay the weekend in Clayton or Highlands and include us in your itinerary. We'd love to meet you. We'll see you soon at the Summer House by Reeves in Highlands and Reeves Home Furnishings in Clayton.
You say goodbye, and I say hello.
With Mercari, your unneeded things can find a new life.
Hello, hello.
Easily list and sell.
I know why you say goodbye, and I say hello.
Or discover great finds.
Hello.
Buy or sell almost anything.
You say goodbye, and I say hello.
Download Mercari on the app stores or at Mercari.com. Mercari, your marketplace.
We've all heard the expression, practice makes perfect. But at Kumon Learning Centers, we believe practice makes possibilities. Imagine what your child could achieve with math and reading mastery at an early age. No one achieves greatness by accident. They practice. Right now, enjoy free registration and save up to $50 at Kumon, where practice makes possibilities. Call 1-800-ABC-MATH to book an orientation today.
Your game day connection to Clemson football. All day, every game. We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
ACDC, Ben Milstead joining us. Good morning, my friend. You've had a whirlwind since I last saw you. You took off out of here at 9 o'clock on Tuesday. I got a text from you at 11, and you're in the carrier dome. Like, what? Or 12.
You're in the carrier dome. Yeah. Like, that's what? Pretty neat.
Yeah.
How are you, Mick?
I am great. Quickly, let me tell the folks about Ace Hardware in Simpsonville. They're getting so close. Ben Duncan is a dear friend. And, man, they've been through it all with burglars, with fires, with everything. And the bottom line is they're doing amazing. And they're going to open up here in about 2 weeks. So that's great. And I need to get over. Ben, you're like me. You like spending time at home. You got a bunch of projects.
Mm-hmm.
I need a ladder, a wheelbarrow. I need a new lawnmower. I need a Blackstone grill. I need a Weber grill. I need more of grilling stuff, grilling seasonings. I need some more Yeti stuff, so I'll be going to Ace Hardware in Simpsonville. I'll let you know more about that coming up. Now, with that said, did you get the chance to hear any of Mike Noonan?
Every bit of it.
There's a lot of lip service around a lot of things in life, and a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Where you profile online there, where you show off online how much you care about something. What's that thing called? Anyway,
I'll follow you.
This man walks that walk. Humility. After winning it, the interview was about him and his program. He talked about his coaches, his players, his family, and the administration at Clemson and all that. Dr. Milt Lauder has talked to me about Mike Noonan and the unbelievable coach and individual that he is. It shows. But he is an unbelievable asset that we have here in Clemson. Virtue signaling is what I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
That's real. What you heard from him right there, all that is real. and really tells you a whole lot about who he is. And if we want to talk about Clemson family, there is fewer better examples than what Mike Noonan is right now.
He gets it, right?
Yeah.
He just gets it.
Right. Right. No doubt.
Whatever it is, he gets it.
No doubt. Tell me about your trip. You and I, before you left, we talked about the rare day of trip up and back. Actually, not calendar day, but day of going up and back. How did that go? How did you find that?
I mean, personally, I loved it. You know, I don't know that you would do that for a 6 o'clock game or 7 o'clock game, something like that. Yeah. But for a 9 o'clock game, when, you know, honestly, I get the impression that coach's biggest concern for a 9 o'clock game is how to keep guys moving around before the game.
Yeah.
You know, because you can just lay around and get lazy. But it really didn't feel. That it was such a long day, it didn't feel any different. Like I had to keep reminding myself that, you know, we left the same day.
Yeah.
But you know, this travel is so efficient for, you know, mm-hmm. the smaller the team, the easier it is, obviously.
Yeah.
But I mean, travel is just so efficient. Yet, I mean, I walked out here at 9 o'clock and I was walking into the Carrier Dome at 12:02. It was crazy.
You've been to New York post-COVID breakout. It's not even past COVID yet, but on several occasions now. And New York is known as very tight restrictions due to their government, their statewide government there. Lessened, worse, better? Was that an issue? Did you notice anything about the lifestyle and what all is required of you there now?
You know, I think they're managing. When we were there for football earlier this year, we talked to Don Munson knows a nurse that's there. She was actually her flower girl or his flower girl in his wedding. Talked to her, and she's a nurse, and you know, they just, like the VA, part of the VA hospital had been flipped to a COVID hospital. I mean, you know, they'd really been hit hard.
Yes.
You got to remember, people up there, they're not outdoors as much. You know, the season is shorter. I think that probably has something to do with it. A lot more people in a small confined area. But, they were really strict about the mask in the dome with fans. But, you know, outside, like our hotel, for instance, said, you know, masks are not required, but you may have to show proof of vaccination. I'm like, cool. Well, I'm going to get a T-shirt with my vaccine card on it.
Get a free meal over dinosaurs.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't even think about it anymore. I just assume that, you know, and then beyond what the local guidelines are, you know, our sports teams are trying to be very cautious right now. And, you know, I wear a mask when I'm on the plane with them, and just an abundance of caution, you know. I don't want to be the guy that shuts down a sport.
yeah, no doubt about that. I think I know you well enough. I've known you long enough. I know your mom and dad and raising you right. I think I'm right by saying this, because others with maybe a different lifestyle might not be able to answer this question the same way you will.
This is making me nervous.
Is that the only time that you checked into a hotel but didn't spend the night there?
I'd like 3 hours worth, please.
There are rooms in certain parts of the country with certain bad things going on. You rent rooms by the hour. No, you don't want to do that. So, but that had to feel weird, right? You checked in and checked out and you didn't spend the night there. That's weird.
I took a long nap in the middle of the day, and it felt like I'd been there 2 days.
Yeah,
so, I can say without a doubt, it's the first time I've ever done that.
I know friends and family listening feel much better about that. I want to do this for my Brad Hughes mile-wise. I don't get your thoughts on this, Ben. Mile-wise, it means you could save money. Allstate has a cool deal now. They put an apparatus on your car if you will sign up for this, if you're driving less. And they pay you pay by the mile now. And so through COVID, through maybe having a company car, a third car, whatever might be in your family, what might be your situation, maybe you're retired, maybe your lifestyle changed, you're not driving as much. So you might be able to save money. Some people have to say over 50% of their car insurance by not driving as much. Think about mile-wise and how that might work for you. Going the extra mile today, I'm going to say that this is going to be Stetson Bennett and what he did by coming through his career. Ben, I talked about this in the first hour. Have you seen these polls from the University of Georgia fans and the message boards from Georgia fans? You might not because you've been busy. I'm looking at one now. 63% of Georgia fans on this one poll with over with about 700 voters wanted him not to come back. Another one had over 5,200 votes, and about 76% of Georgia fans did not want Stetson Bennett back. I made a statement earlier. This says more about fans, not Georgia fans. This is not a Georgia fan deal. Because we saw people, some Clemson fans, get on Dabo Swinney this year and Tony Elliott this year. We saw folks get I told a story earlier about Alex Rodriguez and an MVP year. Fans are all over him about stuff. What does Stetson Bennett have to do? Do we have any loyalty? Do we have any equity built up by any fan of any team now? Or, I mean, because those numbers, that's not just message boards, guys. Those are pretty alarming numbers. They don't want the guy back that won the national championship. Thoughts on that? Commentary on that?
Well, you know, I wonder how much of that is tied to the long-term health. That's not the right word, but the long-term health of the quarterback room. What does – you know, from a fan standpoint, is that tied to you're scared of what Brock Vandergriff might do?
Yeah, but Vandergriff's not as good as Stetson Bennett. And I know Gunnar Stockton's year one, so I'm good. The guy just beat Alabama.
Look, no, I'm with you.
Yeah.
But you know, there's always going to be a reaction. I mean, there's going to be a potential negative to somebody returning, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's
crazy,
what's in the mind
though,
of the Georgia fan. And it's funny, like my son tells me yesterday, he tells me that Stetson Bennett's returning, and then his next text is, I wonder what that means for the other quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think he's earned the right to come back and want him back.
Absolutely.
Rather than that, though, throughout. Anyway, I know you're up with Brad next. Can't thank you for coming in, and can't thank you enough there. Looking forward to you guys' show coming up. My 2-minute drill brought to you by Eric Newton, ericnewton.com. For all of your real estate needs, it's ericnewton.com. Get in touch with him. He can certainly help you out with any real estate needs. They're building houses right now. He's developing houses right now because of no inventory. To find out about that and everything they do at ericnewton.com, check that out. Two guys are about to get a lot smarter. T-Rob and Coleman Hutzler, former South Carolina assistants. T-Rob's leaving Miami, and Coleman Hutzler's leaving Ole Miss to go to Alabama. They're about to become much better